Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another Atlanta Legal Experts radio show. I am your host, Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices. It's a beautiful, bright Tuesday morning this morning. And I have Ryan McPherson with me. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily. You're right. It is a beautiful Tuesday here in Buckhead and ready for another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts.
Me too.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
And this morning we have four legal experts with us. We have Nancy Castor Spratlin. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have Tiffany Coleman.
Good morning.
We have Josie Harris Walton.
Good morning.
And we have Benjamin Gerber.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. This show has been brought to you by Peachtree Offices, 3A Law Practice Management, and Atlanta's own John Marshall Law School. You can see all of the sponsors on our website at AtlantaLegalExperts.com. So I'm ready for a great show this morning.
Yeah, me too. And thank you again to those sponsors for making this happen. Week after week, they're coming through and bringing us good guests for us to continue this conversation here on Atlanta Legal Experts.
And I'll give a little extra shout out to Montina Portis because she did schedule the guests today, Tiffany and Josie. So thanks so much to you, Montina. You're a great supporter as well.
No doubt.
So we'll get started with Nancy Castor Spratlin with the Castor Spratlin Law Group.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I said it right.
You said it correctly.
Wonderful. Nancy Spratlin has more than 15 years of experience litigating employment cases and advising employers about their workplace obligations. She spent several years as a defense litigator at prominent firms in New York and Georgia, where she gained invaluable litigation and trial experience, representing various Fortune 500 companies. She recently launched a new firm, Castor Spratlin Law Group, LLC, with offices in Georgia and New York, focusing on employment law and estate planning. She has handled and litigated a broad spectrum of legal employment law issues and cases, and is currently legal counselor for advisor to a diverse group of clients, from small-sized local companies to large national and international companies. She advises business owners, human resource professionals, and managers regarding employment law issues and best practices. And she was selected Super Lawyers magazine as a rising star in 2011 and was recently named a Super Lawyer in the 2015 edition.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're obviously suited to be on Atlanta Legal Experts Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good. We're so glad to have you. So tell me, let's start off. First of all, how did you get into law? What made you make the jump?
Oh, I think I've always wanted to be an attorney, and I procrastinated a while before making the big decision to go to law school. I have a master's degree in international law and diplomacy. I thought I wanted to work for the UN, but in the back of my mind, I know I wanted to litigate initially, helping companies and litigating. That was always something that I enjoyed doing.
Yeah. So what types of law do you practice?
I practice employment law and estate planning, basically wills and trust. I am an employment lawyer. I generally represent businesses, as you mentioned, in employment law disputes involving a variety of employment law issues, from wage and hour law issues to harassment and discrimination, also trade secrets such as, you know, non-competes and non-solicit violations. But what I really focus on is really the preventative component of my practice. I enjoy helping employers address workplace issues proactively before they become issues.
That's wonderful.
While we focus on litigation sometimes, but I like to help employers stay out of court and stay out of problems and out of sight of governmental agencies.
Right. Take preventative
Exactly.
Steps.
Exactly.
So could you name an example of a preventative step in a certain situation, like trade secrets, per se?
Right. Basically, always want to make sure that you review your non-compete agreements at least annually. The law was changed not too long ago in Georgia. So if you have a non-solicit agreement or a non-compete agreement, I always recommend to have it vetted by an employment counsel to make sure that it's not unreasonable, that it's not unreasonable in scope, not unreasonable in time. Mm-hmm. So those types of measures are highly recommended.
Yeah, we had a, in my family history growing up, my dad had a non-compete and had to leave his firm and then couldn't stay in the state.
Right.
So we had to up and move the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised in Atlanta, and then all of a sudden I had to go to Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's just totally different from what I was used to. And
absolutely.
I had friends, you know, that I was raised with, and all of a sudden, boom, we're uprooted. So, you know, had he reviewed, like mm-hmm. you said, and maybe alternated that part.
Right. And you know, things can be negotiated.
Sure.
You know, and people always think that they're stuck in an agreement, but you can always ask for an agreement to mm-hmm. be renegotiated.
Right.
And from an employer's perspective, you want to be reasonable, especially in this climate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, how long have you been practicing law?
I've been practicing for over 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I started my practice in New York, doing primarily employment law. And I know I mentioned earlier that I'm going back to New York. And one of the things that I added to my practice when I left Greenberg Traurig, where I practice here in Georgia, is the estate planning component of my practice. In law school, my two favorite courses were employment law and wills and trusts. Mm-hmm. And now I have an opportunity to practice my passions, really,
wonderful.
I enjoy doing the best. So
sure.
Estate planning will be definitely a practice that I continue growing over the next, hopefully, 20-something years.
At least another 15.
At least another 15 years.
Well, that is an interesting combination of two kind of spaces to be in. We've had employment lawyers in here before. We've had estate planners in here before. But I think you may be the first who does both.
Correct.
So is there any crossover between those two?
I've managed to find a little niche. I generally represent, although I've represented big companies in the past and, you know, still do, but I generally represent small to medium-sized companies. And as a small business owner, I can relate to small businesses and medium-sized businesses. And inevitably, the small business owner or the medium-sized business owner, when they find out that I do estate planning, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh my God, I don't have a will.
Yeah.
I don't have any estate planning documents. Can you help me with that? Now, I feel like I'm very suited to help them because mm-hmm. I know about their business, I know their goals, and I know what they're trying to accomplish. So for me, I have found a way to have a perfect synergy between the two practices.
No, that sounds very good, and I'm glad you're able to help people on a multiple different levels. And I think recently we had an estate planner in here, and we asked her what was one of the things that came in the will that you couldn't believe they were fighting over. And I think she said a stove. and so have you ever come across anything like that where people can't come to an agreement on who gets what afterwards, or what may be something that comes to mind that you couldn't believe that they were arguing over?
I have not had the stove. But I've had people fighting over assets that are kind of worthless, you know, a house that is underwater and everybody's fighting over it, even people who really don't even need it. I've had siblings who live in different states, but they're fighting over a house that's on the foreclosure.
Yeah.
Seems like it's more of a principle of the
correct. Yeah. And they're fighting each other and they don't even really want the house.
Yeah.
So I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I've had some interesting requests for the disposal of ashes. They want their ashes to be scattered over the Pacific Ocean or some ocean, or which I find very interesting when the location is very specific.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Tell me, what distinguishes you from other attorneys? How do you stand out in the crowd?
I think I think one of the tagline for me for my business is clients focused and solutions driven. So I approach my practice always with my clients in mind, and try to be proactive in coming up with innovative solutions to help them and to solve their problems. It may not be a complete resolution for them, but it's certainly going to be a win-win solution for everyone.
Gotcha. And tell me, what to you is the most gratifying part of your practice?
Definitely coming up with those innovative solutions, thinking out of the box,
yeah,
which I love to do. I love being challenged with a problem and ultimately thinking outside the box and coming up with the solution that perhaps no one really had anticipated or had thought about. But it's a win-win solution for the client or and the adverse party.
Right. And that's what you're good at doing. That's what you do. So it's things that obviously your client's not going to think of.
Correct.
Because of your profession.
Correct.
Now tell me, what do you do other than practice law? What's your pastime?
Well, I enjoy spending time with my family. They certainly keep me on my toes. I have a 7-year-old and 2.5-year-old twins.
Oh, nice. Oh,
and
goodness.
They're all boys. I need to add that and stress that. So the energy level in my house is super high.
Wear it like a badge. Yeah.
That's why you were named Super Lawyer in 2015.
Lawyer, exactly.
Yeah. And Super Mom, too.
Yeah. And according to my 7-year-old, I'm Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Which I like, aww. But then that's a very high standard to live up to on a daily basis. And they definitely keep my husband and I, you know, busy.
Right, right. So where are you located? Where's your firm located?
We are in Midtown. So we are about, since I'm changing location, so we are still in Midtown at 1100 Peachtree, but we may change our location. And my location in New York is at 104 West 40th Street, right next to Bryant Park.
Oh, wow.
And, yes. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And so any advice you would give maybe a young lawyer out there who's getting ready to step out onto their own, into their own practice? And what are some experiences you may have had along the way?
Do your research. That's important in terms of what practice areas do you really want to, begin with. You can always change your practice. You can always evolve, like I say. But do your research. And I think having a plan, I know people always say, well, have a business plan. It's important. But to me, a plan encompasses more than just a business plan. It's also everything plan. What do you want to do with your life as an attorney in the next 15 years? You need to take that into consideration in planning your own practice and launching a solo practice, especially.
So that's great advice. We see that week after week here at Atlanta Legal Experts, that you may be an accomplished attorney, but that didn't always make you the best business person.
Correct.
So aligning yourself with people who can help you run your business effectively so you can continue being that effective lawyer that you have been, and your practice can grow from there. So
that's correct.
Yeah, certainly. There are two different hats that you have to wear.
Absolutely.
When running your own practice.
Exactly. I think you are, although you are an attorney, but you are definitely a business person, and you wear that hat on a daily basis. You have to drum up business. You have to think as a business person first, and then an attorney.
Well, how do you see your role evolving over there at Castor Spratton Law Group? Are you trying to grow? You said you're in Atlanta, New York now.
Well, the expansion for me at this point is having an office in New York.
Okay.
So that I know is going to be a little challenging given that I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, but I am going to align myself with people who can help me accomplish my goals in New York and my goals here in Atlanta. And we have a workshop on the third Saturday of every month here in Atlanta, Georgia, with our estate planning practice. It's really designed for people who cannot afford to have their estate plans done by an attorney. So we give them a break, sort of, on the price. So we meet every third Saturday every month.
If you let the listeners know where that is or how they can find out more about that, and then also how they can reach you.
Yes. If they go on my website, www.castorspratlinlaw.com, or they can reach me at 404-410-3075, or they can send me an email at nancy@castorspratlinlaw.com, and they can ask me information about the logistics of the workshop. We try to do them either in Alpharetta or Smyrna, but we are open to other locations.
And Spratlin is two T's.
Two T's, that's correct. Thank you.
My pleasure. I kept spelling it with one, and I kept correcting myself, so I want to make sure everybody knew.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, and we will continue to our next guest, but first, remind our listeners, you are listening to Atlanta Legal Experts Radio for another wonderful episode. So far, so good.
So far, so good. And you can tune in every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. to hear us live, or go to AtlantaLegalExperts.com to hear all the past shows and see all the bios of all our guests here today.
Thank you for saying that. That was
my
perfect.
Pleasure.
So now I welcome Tiffany Coleman and Josie Harris-Walton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you two are with the Coleman and Walton Law Firm, LLP.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. And I'm going to just briefly read your bios together, and then we'll go on with the questions, if that's okay. So Tiffany Coleman is one of the managing partners of Coleman and Walton. She is a native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and received her undergraduate degree in government from Oral Roberts University. After college, she worked as a social worker for the Department of Family and Children's Services for 4 years. Due to the injustices she saw within the juvenile court system, she decided to become an attorney. While still employed as a social worker, she enrolled into John Marshall Law School in Atlanta, Georgia. During her time at John Marshall, she gained invaluable work experience at Atlanta Legal Aid, Fulton Juvenile Court, and the Family Division of Fulton Superior Court. After graduating from law school in 2008, she established her own practice and now handles bankruptcy cases and creditor defense work against creditors. And Josie Harris-Walton is one of the managing partners of Coleman and Walton. Josie is a native of the state of Alabama. While completing her business administration degree from the University of West Alabama, she served in the United States Army Reserve. She attended law school at Samford University, Cumberland School of Law. She also earned her legal master's in taxation from DePaul University College of Law. During her time at DePaul, Josie volunteered as an attorney at the Tax Care Clinic, a nonprofit organization focused on helping low-income taxpayers with disputes against taxing authorities. She also worked at the Internal Revenue Service. After graduating from DePaul, she gained invaluable work experience as a tax attorney at Deming Parker Law Firm and as a senior tax consultant at Strategic Tax Advisors. She now specializes in strategic tax planning and tax defense. Josie is barred in the state of Georgia and Alabama. That's definitely qualifies you to be on the show today.
Thank you. <Yeah.
laughs> Thank you so much for being here. So go ahead, Josie, and tell me about your start into law. Sorry.
Well, actually, I wanted to be an attorney ever since I was 7 years old. Can you believe that? But I did. I decided to practice tax law. I was in law school. Actually, my mom is an accountant, so I've always worked with numbers. And while I was in law school, I took a lot of tax courses. Love the tax courses. I think tax is so sexy. And so I decided that I was going to be a tax attorney. So I decided to also get my legal master's in taxation from DePaul University.
Wow.
Yes.
And Tiffany, sorry.
Okay.
I got you. You're like almost like twins. I got you confused. Go ahead. How did you get into law?
As a young child, I was always intrigued by the legal system and how it helped people overcome obstacles or injustices. So I enjoy watching Johnny Cochran and learning more about his practice. And that's what inspired me in college to focus in on government. And then while working in the juvenile court system, I really developed a passion for teaching people how to navigate through the legal system and really not speaking above their heads, but pretty much breaking down how they could achieve their rights. So that really inspired me to want to pursue different types of law that would help people navigate through the complicated world of law.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how did the two of you meet?
Wow. We had a mutual client, and that was about three or four years ago. And then I went to work at Strategic Tax Advisor as a strategic tax consultant all over the world. I traveled for about a year. After a while, I was like, I'm just tired of this. I want to go back and start my own practice. So I decided to start my own practice. And last year, me and Tiffany combined our practice. She has bankruptcy, of course, and I'm tax. And we saw that it was a mutual relationship between bankruptcy and tax. And so we decided to combine the businesses. So here we are.
I love it.
Yeah. And you might be the first tax attorney in here that we've had to ever describe taxes as sexy. I have to say that. And we've had quite a few in here, but you can tell you're passionate about it.
I love
and
it.
You do love it. So what particularly draws you to it? Is it the figuring out or the numbers or, you know, because there's so much to learn with the tax code out there and so much to be involved with. What about it for you that you particularly like?
I love the fact of maneuvering the tax code itself. I love the fact that with the tax code, the IRS or the federal government tells you what you cannot do. They don't tell you what you can do. So what I do is understand what you can do, and that way I get my clients' tax resolutions resolved. And that's what I love about it. So I love maneuvering the tax code because, like I said, mm-hmm. it's so
like
amazing to me. Yes.
Yeah.
I can see her brain working right now.
And are your clients small businesses? Are they individuals or both? Or who are your clients?
They're both. We actually deal with a lot of small businesses, mid-sized businesses, as well as high net worth clients.
And good. And so these days, how does business find you? How do clients come on board?
A lot of times we get referrals from accountants and financial planners because they're in
Makes
the day-to-day
sense.
Operations of the businesses mm-hmm. and they know when there's a problem and they try to catch us in time to put out that fire. Or we do try to pre-plan with them. So people are either finding us through their referrals or also on the web through our website and our social media outlets as well.
And when people call you, do you need like all stacks and stacks of documents and go all the way back into their financial records? How much information do you need for a client before you can really figure out what they need?
Typically, we offer to our clients free 30-minute consultations. That gives us a good preview as to what they're facing. And then we can tell them what solutions we can implement. And then we ask them for the information. So when they come in, we're not expecting them to bring boxes of documents. We really want to get to what information we need and then be able to implement their solution from that point. But we love people who have bookkeepers and accountants.
It makes your job easier.
It makes our job a whole lot easier, and it makes it a better experience, I would say, for our clients as well.
Nice.
Tell me, Tiffany, how do you stand out from amongst the attorney world?
I like to say when a client becomes my client, we develop a partnership. And my goal is not to just end their case after the bankruptcy is closed out, but to really help them get on the right foot after the bankruptcy is finished. So I always use the tagline as there's life after debt. So my goal is to see if they need retirement help to get them to the right financial planner. If they need a better credit score, how we can get them to the right resource to help them build from that point on.
I love that. I love mm-hmm. that. And you, Jesse?
Well, I have an LLM in taxation. That's what I tell everybody. A lot of tax attorneys don't have an LLM because I love tax so much. I went back and I decided to focus on just tax. And also with clients, you know, we stand out because of the fact that we have that one-on-one. We believe in giving you that consultation first to see if we can help you. Because we don't want to just say, okay, yes, we can help you, and then at that point we can't. Or mm-hmm. you spent your money on a tax attorney when you could have paid your tax liability. So I want to be able to give you that option of what you need to do. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them do need the tax attorneys. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to tell my clients, I did everything I possibly could to help you. And I think that's what me and Tiffany stand. We have that definitely, that niche and that closeness to our clients.
And we know what you love about what you do, but what do you love? Tiffany, about your area of practice most?
I like being able to alleviate people's stress. As we all know, stress can lead people into depression and can really just boggle their minds and not being able to move forward. Mm-hmm. So I've had several clients who were older and were nearing retirement age and just didn't see how they were going to make it. So to be able to teach them how bankruptcy can be a tool to them and not something to be embarrassed about, but really mm-hmm. utilize it to help them rebuild their lives, that just really brightens my day and gets me up in the morning.
Well, I'd like to get you, Emily.
No, I was saying I love that.
That's great. And get your thoughts on what it's like to be women entrepreneurs. I know that's definitely an arena that young ladies could use some advice on. So Tiffany, first, what was it like for you to kind of start your own practice?
It wasn't a choice at first. When I came out of school, the recession had just hit. So I had the goal of working for a nonprofit and was forced into being an entrepreneur. But it has been a great lesson for me, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But I think that what helped me the most is putting good people around me mm-hmm. and learning early on, if I don't know something, then I need to find somebody who knows the answer to it. So developing a good support team has really been invaluable for me through being
a part of your support team is Josie
of
here.
Course.
So she keeps you on track. Darren, what are your thoughts about, you know, women entrepreneurs and women in the law profession in general and what they can bring to the table?
Well, of course, you know, I worked for a firm as well as a corporation. So, I think if you're going to go out and practice on your own, I think you should be an expert in what you do. I love the fact of, you know, and don't get me wrong, you can be an expert in different areas, but be an expert. Like, you know, do your research. Also, don't undervalue yourself. You know what you're worth. So get your worth. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would recommend.
Well, that's great advice. I think there's a lot of young lawyers out there and young women entrepreneurs that could really take that advice to heart and succeed as you two are. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Now, another question for both of you, and I'll start with Josie. What keeps you motivated day to day?
My motivation is my clients. I mean, I love the fact of being able to go to tax court or go to a tax audit. For instance, I had a tax audit that the client owed $50,000 in a tax liability. They were an older couple, about 89 or so, and the representative was just going to their home. He went there like 5 times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when they finally hired me, it took us one time and I said, let's bring your supervisor. We're going to get this resolved. And I got them down to $4,000.
Wow.
Tax liability. So that is my motivation, the fact of helping my clients to achieve what they need to achieve when it comes to taxes. Because people are. When you say taxes, people are scared. But you have somebody who's right there who's going to fight for you. And that's what I want to do.
And you're one of a kind, I can tell you. Like you said, people hear taxes and go,
Right. And we've had tax attorneys here before, but they didn't laugh as much as she does. So you can tell
exactly.
that she really enjoys it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
And Tiffany, what keeps you motivated?
I know it's cliche, and I'm going to piggyback off of Josie, but it is my clients. I had a single mom recently who had suffered through MS, and she had racked up a lot of medical bills. So being able to take that stress off of her so she could focus on her kids and focus on her healing process was very rewarding to me. So waking up and being able to dispel some of the myths of bankruptcy, as well as making people feel comfortable that it's not the end of the world, you're not a failure, but life goes on, that really is my motivation.
That's wonderful. I love that.
No, that's
they're
great advice.
They're definitely following their true path.
Yeah, and I think they're a great match for their practice. So if
Absolutely.
You have some bankruptcy issues or some tax issues, make sure you reach out to Coleman and Walton, LLP.
Absolutely. And tell me, where are you located?
We're located 2310 Park Lake Drive, which is right off of La Vista Road and 285. So okay. We do have accessible parking.
Yes.
And traffic isn't that bad. So come out and see us. We do work with clients all over the country since bankruptcy and tax are federal practices. So we also do consultations over the phone. So if you can't come to our location, please give us a call.
And you serve all of Georgia. And Yes. Are you any other states or just Georgia?
I practice in Alabama as well, but because tax and, like she said, bankruptcy is federal, we can actually practice anywhere. So just call us.
Fantastic. Yes. And if you'll tell everybody how to reach you.
Yes, website, thecwlawfirm.com. We're also on Facebook at The CW Law Firm and on Twitter, and soon to be on Periscope as well.
Yes.
All right. That must be from the advice of Montina.
That is, and we have to say thanks, Montina, for inviting us out today.
She was on Periscope the entire time she was in here on her episode and had over 900 viewers during that moment. So we love Montina.
I was a little more intimidated that day.
I know, right? The whole world is not only listening to you, Emily, but they're watching you too.
Yeah. Yeah. I like staying behind the microphone. Well, thanks again for being here. It was a joy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. So get on to the next one.
Yes. We do have another fine guest here in the studio here today, Ben Gerber. Tell us about him, Emily.
Yes. Benjamin Gerber. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for listening and being patient with us as we go around the table. And last but not least is Benjamin Gerber. He's with the law offices of Benjamin Y. Gerber, PC. He does workers' comp. He is a trial lawyer focusing his practice on helping those who have been injured on the job. After earning his law degree from George Washington University Law School, Ben worked on the insurance defense side of the docket, earning valuable insight into strategies that help him provide effective representation for individual workers today. His law firm has offices in Atlanta and Athens, Georgia, and takes pride in the personal service and responsiveness provided to each client. So tell me how you got started in the field of law.
When I was in college, I decided I wanted to help people, and I had a few options of what I wanted to do, teach or go into a nonprofit or go to law school. And I decided law school was the way I wanted to go.
Awesome. And what are the biggest challenges facing individuals in the workers' compensation arena today?
Fear. They are terrified they're going to lose their job. They are terrified they're not going to be able to provide for their family. And they're most terrified that a majority of these people are day laborers or they live paycheck to paycheck, and they've injured their tool, and their tool is their body, and they are scared that they will never be able to provide for their family or for themselves again.
Yeah, that is scary. So you help them by assuring them.
We help them by assuring them that it's going to be okay. This sounds crazy, but the workers' comp system is very much like the tax system. We are code-based. Everything exists in the code, and there are rules and there are regulations for everything. And if you know how to navigate the rules and regulations and play the game, so to speak, you can help the injured worker.
Now, there was one question in here. How can an injured employee help their chances of maintaining their job once they recover? That's something that I really was curious about.
The simple answer is contact an attorney. Because there are certain rules that the employer has to follow once you are hurt. One of the rules they have to follow is they have to make work available to you within your work restrictions. And if they don't make that work available to you, they have to pay you workers' comp benefits. Now, if they don't make work available to you, their premiums will go up.
Could be a bitter situation.
Yes, it could be a very difficult situation for the employer, but we can make it easier on the employer to help the employee keep their job during that time.
Gotcha. So how are workers' compensation benefits determined, both the duration and the amount?
By statute, the amount is the average weekly wage. You have to go back 13 weeks prior to the injury to calculate how much they were making, and they can get up to two-thirds of that, up to $550 now. And that's the max you can get in Georgia is $550 per week.
Wow. Mm.
And workers' compensation could be anything from accident on the job and a one-time injury or something that occurs over time. And you can help clients with both of those situations, right?
Absolutely. I have a client who actually worked at a plant south of the airport and was there for 30 years and was inhaling chemicals the entire time he was there. And now he has frontal lobe damage as a result. And so there was not a specific accident, but he has, unfortunately and very tragically, some brain degeneration.
Yeah, well, how did he know it was time to call you or get compensated for all these years on the job?
Unfortunately, he's not able to do so right now, and his wife took advantage of the situation, and he's getting help.
And you're able to help him. You're able to do some research into the company and what he was doing and the chemicals he was around, and then present that back to the company itself to say, hey, this is what happened.
That is exactly right. And you can imagine what his medical bills are right now. They are in the seven figures, and he needs 24-hour nursing care.
Wow.
And so you then start working with the company to make sure they're compensating him. But going back to your point a minute ago, he can only get $550 a week?
That is correct. He can only, he's eligible to get up to $550.
And plus the medical expenses.
Plus the medical expenses. And for him, that's the big issue because, he's going to be bound to his house for the rest of his life. And he can't really feed himself anymore at this point in time.
No, well, there's a good thing there's men like you out there representing situations like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now I know how you help people, for sure. Any other interesting case, like maybe a fun case that you were able to resolve?
Yeah, I had a couple fun cases. One of them, a client of mine was in North Carolina. He was, his job was basically to tar roofs before they actually, industrial roofs before they had the roofing put on it. And he was mugged and robbed and shot 7 times.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, it's crazy. And he actually has bullets lodged inside his chest still. And he has a bullet about a millimeter away from his heart. And we were able to help him. And he's now getting workers' comp benefits.
Was he on the roof when it happened?
No, he was on it. It was 11 o'clock at night. His job was to actually prep the roofs for the workers the next day.
Okay, so it was late at night.
Late at night. And he got mugged and robbed and shot.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and he can't have an MRI, so they don't really know what's wrong with him. Because an MRI is a magnetic test, which might move the bullets.
Wow.
And paralyze and kill him. It's a very fun job, what I do. I
gotta sounds like
very
it.
Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah,
I was saying myself that I was up in the middle of the night. I would never sleep.
No. No, he'd be a wreck.
I would be an absolute wreck. But I know you're helping them, so you probably sleep really good at night.
I try to sleep very well. I have 3 young kids. It doesn't always happen.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, does a lawyer ever need work compensation? What kind of things do you do on a day-to-day basis that you may potentially need to be compensated for down the road?
That's actually a great question.
I thought so, too. Thank you.
You know, traveling to and from a location, you are actually considered on the job. So a lawyer, let's say, is involved in an auto accident on the way to a deposition or a way to meet a client. You guys say you travel to clients all over the place. That could be a workers' compensation case, and yes. Mm-hmm. We can help them at that point in time.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get new clients? Do you, a lot of other lawyers refer you business?
I have 100% referrals from former clients and other attorneys. I don't advertise at all. I mean, I have a website, www.gerber-law.com. But it's 100% referrals from former clients and from other attorneys.
And today on Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, so you're kind of breaking outside the box there.
Exactly, yes.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what is the key difference between a personal injury claim and a workers' comp claim?
Well, the obvious difference is pain and suffering. In workers' compensation, you cannot get pain and suffering. You can only get pain and suffering in a personal injury claim.
Okay.
The other difference is there does not have to be any type of negligence in a workers' compensation case. It can be all your fault.
Oh, wow.
And you still can recover on a workers' compensation claim.
See, I didn't ever know that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? We've had other workers' comp attorneys on here, and I never knew that.
We learn something new every day, don't we?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. So tell me, why did you choose to limit your firm's practice to just the workers' comp area?
Because I think it's, for me personally, it's important for me to be a master of one and not a jack of all trades. And like the tax code, it's very complicated, it's very nuanced, and new things are happening all the time in the workers' comp sphere. And so I feel like I have to be on top of that to best assist my clients. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Oh, that's good advice. And yeah, we've heard that here a number of times today, to be specialized in that practice that you do. And what are your thoughts that you have on your challenges that you experience when starting your own practices?
Well, starting your own practice is very difficult because your time is stretched extremely thin. My one piece of advice to anybody is that it's okay to spend money to make money. Hire staff behind you so you can do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're doing clerical work for a majority of the time.
Right.
And, you know, it's okay to have people do that so you can focus on the practice of law.
So you have a good staff over there at the law offices of Benjamin Y. Gerber.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and so they're doing some of the side work so you can stay focused and specialized in helping clients and continuing the mission of your practice.
So we can provide individualized representation to all of our clients. Yes.
So let's give a shout out to all the staff over there at the law offices of Benjamin Y. Gerber. They are making him successful. In turn, he's making them successful. So that's great. Great to hear. And so when you're not at work, when you're not changing the world and helping people, what do you like to do when you're off time?
I have 3 young kids, so I'm very involved in their life. Coach,
how old?
10, 8, and 6.
Okay.
So I coach Little League Baseball.
Fun.
And I I don't coach my daughter in dance. That would be horrible to say. But I take her to dance, and I encourage her, and I cheer her on.
Very nice. Yes.
And she's the oldest?
She's the youngest.
The youngest?
Yes. Okay. And she rules the roost.
They always do. Yeah. They really always do. My second is my youngest.
And you're into dance, too, aren't you? Or used to be.
My daughter is.
Yeah,
and I am,
right.
Yep.
So you know what that's like.
And baseball. My son's in baseball, so I'm related.
Yes.
My husband is the coach. Not the coach, but the manager of the team at Murphy Candler. So.
Oh, wow. Very nice.
Yeah. So.
Yep, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
And I wanted to find out where you're located.
Okay, I'm located at 7 Lenox Point, which is the corner of Buford and Lenox, just down the street from here in Atlanta. Yes. And in Athens, I'm at 525 South Millage, which is on the corner of Baxter and Millage, a stone's throw away from campus and the stadium.
Wow.
So if anyone wants to tailgate, my office has a tailgate every single Georgia game.
Yeah. and you service all over the state of Georgia?
All over the state of Georgia, that is correct.
Very good.
Yeah, so if you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you.
I can be reached at, my phone number is 678-802-8650, and my website is www.gerber-law.com.
Awesome, and I'll also remind our listeners of our sponsors today. We have Peachtree Offices, and their website is peachtreeoffices.com. We have 3A Law Practice Management, and that's 3alawmanagement.com. And then Atlanta's John Marshall Law School, and I think everybody knows where to find them.
Yes,
especially the people in the room.
Right, yeah, we've had some people attend there, and they do such a great job of supporting the mission of Atlanta Legal Experts. We thank them every week for continuing to be on board and to bring in such fine guests like we have today.
Yes. So thank you, everybody, for listening today. This wraps up another show of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. I'm your host, Emily Rowell, with Peachtree Offices, and I look forward to being here next week, Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. live.
All right. See you then.